I wish I could say this is a road well-traveled, this conference, but if I'm not mistaken, just about everybody that has spoken, God has circumcised their word in a really deeper way than what they did when we all first started. So, Father, I just ask that you finish my sentences, Lord, and I thank you for this opportunity to speak into the lives of your people, Lord. Father, we just ask that you would just take over and bring back to remembrance all those things that you would have us to say. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start off with this, a song. It's called, Have You Counted the Cost? Because I'm finding out, even to get this love that God is putting out right now, there is a cost for it. And the cost is your life. And a lot of God's people haven't counted that cost. They just think that it just comes to them by, can I pull this over a sec? I think he's falling. By osmosis. And it's not going to come to us by osmosis. It's like we are going to have to pay the cost for what God wants to deposit into us. And so this is this song. It says, very easy song. I think I learned this song when I was about 15 years old. Then I did not understand it, but my mom and dad, just to give you a little background, were pastors. So I come from a very pastoral family. It's 12 of us kids in our family, and just about all of us are either apostles, prophets, or pastors, evangelists. And for 12 kids that come from Detroit, Michigan, to be all have a degree in something or another is, and we were a very poor family, but my dad instilled in us, the world does not meet you halfway, like people try to tell you. If you want it, you have to go out and get it. And so he put into us seven girls that, I'm saying the seven girls, the boys would be really mad at me if they heard me say that. But that's seven girls to go out and get it. And so our brothers are all have degrees and everything, too. Matter of fact, my oldest brother, Reuben, he's my brother, but he's also been like a mentor to me and to Lewis, because Lewis knew him. He was very young. And this song is called, Have You Counted the Cost? Have you counted the cost to walk this way? Have you paid the price to behold God's face? For to behold the living God is to walk away from yourself. To die to self, to leave yourself behind, to be nothing, to be empty, so that Christ in you may be all in all. And that's the word God is starting to speak to us this day. Have you counted the cost? Evelyn, have you counted the cost? About a couple months ago, when we first started this word, it was, like she said, and all of us say it, but we don't get to choose what we minister. Nancy prays, and then she hands it to us and says, this is what I would like you to speak on. Now let God enrich it into your spirit. And she pretty much lets us go with it. Gives us a guideline, you know, because some of us are very new at it, some of the speakers that come on board. But then we have to go and we start to research it and search it out. And mine is on the sound of God's assurance in his present love. In June, we have a family camp that my church goes to. It's called Twin Bears. And we all get together, and we go out to this camp. It has a huge lake on it. It is just really beautiful. Little cabins, and we all get out there. And it's our time as a church to learn how to be together in not just a church setting, you know what I mean? So that we learn how to fellowship with one another, to know one another. And so we can fulfill that scripture that says, know those who labor among you. Because a lot of times, you only see everybody on Sunday morning. Or if you have a service through the week, Sunday and Wednesday, or Sunday and Thursday. Well, this is our time in the summer where a lot of our guys take that time off, and we take our whole families out there. I even take my grandkids out there because I don't have any more little ones, thank you, Lord. I have my grandkids, you know, the kind I can give back when I'm done. And so, because I had three sons, so I lived in a home with a lot of testosterone. And ladies, I would come home wanting to tell them my adventures. And they all four would be sitting there, including Dad. Can you just get to the point? Can you just get to the point? Can you just get to the point? Why does ladies have to talk so long to get to the point? And so they finally started giving me a little grace because I was the only female in the house. Now I have three beautiful daughter-in-laws, and I love it. I love seeing them squirm when we all get together and there's only one of them there. So anyway, we was at this camp, and our church is going through quite a transition right now, as is all the churches universal over the world. If you're in any church situation right now, you know that your churches are going through what I call the shift. God is doing something different than he ever has did before. And so this one night we were there, and the people that used to do this was gone, and so someone else had to step in, and the people that normally would do the shopping was gone, and so I got stuck with doing the shopping, and you know, so everything got switched around. And so that night I went to my cabin, and I was there and went to bed very heavy. You know how you go to bed heavy, and it's been not depressed, but just thinking about all the things that's going on. And I'm like, you know what, Lord, this is a camp. We're supposed to relax. We're supposed to have a good time. I'm just going to go to bed and just, I'm going to enjoy myself this three-week weekend. And for the first time, I went to a camp, and Lewis wasn't with me because normally we were always together, and especially even during those times. So as I laid in the bed, I had my 7-year-old granddaughter with me. And I was laying there asleep, and I was awakened at 4 o'clock in the morning. Just came just wide awake. And it was really quiet because they have generators there, and they turn them off at night, you know, when everybody goes to bed. And then they turn them back on like 7 o'clock in the morning or whatever, when they think you're arising again. So I woke up, and this is our daytime season, so, you know, it's 24-hour daylight for all those who don't live in Alaska. And the air in the room was so tangible, it felt like you could reach out and grab it and eat it. I mean, it just felt light. The whole room just felt really light. I don't know if you ever felt anything like that. Like it just didn't have a care in the world, the room did. And I was sitting there in the bed, and all of a sudden a still small voice says to me, Evelyn, it's time to shift. Now, we have been hearing words about shift, but I feel in my spirit, even though you hear a word about shift, it's your turn to shift when God reveals it unto you that you're getting ready to shift. And you can try to walk in something that someone else says, but until it is made totally, completely real to you, it is hard to try to walk in someone else's anointing or whatever they said. But he said, it is time to shift. And I said, it's time to shift. He says, yes. And he said, but this shifting, Evelyn, is not going to be anything that you have aspired to ever in your walk with me. Because this shift, no one's hands is going to be able to touch. And I really believe that the shifting that's going on now in Universal, in all our churches, in all our groups that we have in our churches, the reason why it's becoming so hard to handle, because God doesn't want you to handle it. Amen. He wants to handle
it. That's right.
And he has said, you've had your time to get it together, but now it's my turn. And I am going to put it back into its proper perspective, the way it should be. And so I sit there and I was like, oh, the shift. And he said, yes. And he started to answer questions that I had on my mind to the Father about my calling. And I don't know about you, but in this time and in this day, the Bible says, make your calling and election sure. That means there should be a time that you go to the Father and say, Lord, is this still where you want me? Is this still the place you want me to walk in? Do you still want me to be a part of this? If you're a worship leader, do you still want me to lead worship? Because God does move people, and we get stuck in familiarity, things that we are familiar, that's comfortable to us. And often we don't hear the small, still voices sometimes that says move. And so we stay there and we wonder why we are so just bored or tired or can't seem to connect with it. It's because maybe God is saying it's time for you to come up higher or to move over into another area. I don't know. You have to find out for yourself. But this is the way God deals with me. So I had been asking him about everything, even Point to Hope, everything about my life. I tend to go to God and says, is this still what you want for Lewis and I? Is this how you want us to move? And so as I was sitting there talking, he answered all my questions for me. I get a phone call. And remember, this is 4:00 in the morning. So I get a phone call from Seattle. And it's my younger sister. And I pick up the phone and I said, hello? Oh, and by the way, nobody was getting calls because the phone system wasn't working out there because it was way out, you know, in the wooded area. And I get a phone call. And I look at my phone and I'm like, and it was my sister and I went, hello? And she said, Evelyn. And that's the only word that you can understand that she said because she went off in tongues. And she just starts speaking in tongues on the phone. And then all of a sudden she says, thus said the Lord about Delta Christian Center. And she starts to prophesy to me about my church. She doesn't know anything about my church, you know, and she didn't know anything about things that's going on. And she starts prophesying about things that I know she has no way of knowing unless the Father has told her. And saying how God was getting ready to do a shift in Universal Church. I thought when I first heard it, it was for Delta Christian Center, okay? But since then, I know that God is saying this shift is not just for Delta Christian Center. And how I know that, he says to me, he says, Evelyn, what does your name mean? And Evelyn comes from the word Eve, which means the mother of all nations. He said, so when I say I am doing a shift, it can't just be Delta Christian Center, because every place you touch, every place you go, every person you have had influence with, they're getting ready to go through a shift. You're going to see the shifting on their life. And this conference, I have seen it. I'm actually enjoying being the last one because I have been able to just peek in and see all the shifting that's going on, even in my sisters that I walk every day with in Point to Hope. Because I can tell you, none of the word that they shared here is how anything, maybe little piece of bits and pieces about from the year before, but most of it, God has added to and subtracted from. And so as we sat upstairs and Dee was having her workshop, God brought back to me this experience I had at the camp. And I said, Lord, why are you telling me this? He said, so that you're not caught off guard when the shift happens. He said, and I am unloading my female gender of the man gender. See, because we are people. God, see, I created man. Man is who we are all collectively. And then male and female is in that man gender. You understand what I'm saying? So just like you have bear, you have a male and female bear. You have man and you have male and female man. Well, in that man gender, he said, I am returning the responsibility back to the man side of the man gender. He said, and this is one shift that a lot of women are going to have a problem with. Not because they don't want their husbands or their loved ones or their pastors or men that they've seen in the past to move in this, but because it has become comfortable for us to move in this, because we have had to do it for so many years. Because the man gender, the fall, when the fall happened, it took something from them. And they are now getting it back in its fullness. And I tell you, I was talking to my husband, and he said he could feel a weight just drop on him. He called me on the phone, and he says, and I'm praying in the house, and I said, honey, how you doing today? And he says, I'm doing fine, but I was going down the road. He says, and all of a sudden, he said, it felt like something just went whoosh on my shoulder. I'm like, oops. I know what that is. You know? So, yeah, and so, and I began to tell him about what I was saying, and he was like, what does that mean? I said, I don't know. I just know something is happening. Something is happening. And even if our husbands and our loved ones is not in the places where we think they should be, we need to get our hands off.
Amen.
Because God is doing this by his anointing and by his spirit. And there's a lot of places that we all have kept each other in boxes. Because this is the way they move for years. We don't even try to see them move any different. Therefore, we can't see the abundance of love that God is pouring out through them, because all we see is what we know them to be. I've been married to them. I've been married to Lewis for 37 years. We just had our anniversary. But I've been with him ever since I was 12 years old. And so we end up putting each other in boxes that we have to physically let go and let them be men in that order. You know, and let them take on the responsibility that God never meant for us to do, but society caused us to do it. You understand? It's not like we went and said, well, I want to be the man in the family. It wasn't like that. It was just the way society was. We had no choice. And a lot of us took responsibilities that we shouldn't have had to take. And now God is giving them back. Do I mean that you walk 20 paces behind him? No, because that's another man-made thing.
Yes.
That is not a God-made thing.
Amen.
He said, I made you a helpmate.
Hallelujah.
A helpmate is one who walks, ones who see the enemy coming.
Amen.
In other words, can you stand for a minute, honey? Lewis. In other words, this is the way men and women, if Lewis is walking this way, and he's walking, and something happens. I see the enemy coming, and I should be in my place of influence enough that I can say, honey, blah, 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 blah. And whatever is happening, his spirit would witness to it. I'm not walking behind him. I'm walking beside him.
Amen.
But we're walking in our proper places.
Amen.
In the spirit of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Where we can attack the enemy before he attacks us.
Amen.
He can't find a space to move into us. Because we are not going to let him.
That's right.
Because when I see him coming, I may say, you know what? We'll get into a discussion. And I say, honey, that's not what I meant. Wait, let me explain what I meant. Mm-hmm. And we asked him for the first time in years. We sit down and have a conversation. And we were just talking about the other day. And we hear each other.
Amen.
We're listening to each other.
Amen.
We're not talking at each other. We talk to each other. Makes a big difference.
Amen.
Big difference. And so you get to see the enemy coming, and it does not attack your family, nor your church family, nor your kids like it used to. Because when we're on our job, it trickles down to our children. When we're out of sort, it trickles down to our kids. Do you not know that? When you do something and you have children, you wonder why your kids are so unruly. Hello. What have you been doing? Because you have the authority to make all things come down from you unto your children, just like the church. When a pastor of the church is out of sort, that's why you have watchmen and all these people in the wall. If you're not faithful to go and talk to your pastor or pray for your pastor, then everything they go through, you as a church are going to experience some of it. And you're going to wonder why you're experiencing this, because where are you praying? It is your responsibility to pray for your pastors. Why? For your sake.
Amen.
Not for their sake. For your sake. Because whatever they filter down and go through, and if they're not hearing from God, it's going to affect you. Okay? So, he says, this is the closing of a day and the opening of a new level of life for God's people. It is happening right now. Right now. Before you came to this conference, it is happening right now. God's people who are seeking him, he said, seek me while I can be found. Because there is going to be another closing of the door. Whether we want to hear that or not, it is. Because he says, my spirit will not always strive with man. That means that God is meaning to close something. So we have better be knocking and seeking and asking why God can be found. So that we would know the direction God wants to put us in. God wants us to go in. So as we left this, we got through with this camp and I went home and I was so light. But we had all these native people come in to the camp. And we actually, there's a group that has been established in Fairbanks. And they call them the Underground. And this man who was very, very much into drugs, in extreme, cleaned his life up, him and his wife. And they have a church called the Underground. And it is an open church. Well, I love what Mary Beth was talking, because this is an open church where they invite people that has had addictions of any kind to come to this church. And their church is packed with people. You know why? Because there is no stipulations on the people. Amen. They're not saying you got to wear your skirt this short or your pants this loose or this, that, or the other, your hair this way. Oh, you gotta raise your hands when you praise. You got to clap your hands. You got to stand up. You got to sit down. No. All they're doing is trying to minister God to a people. Amen. And the people are coming hungry. Amen. And thirsting. And it's more men, which bless me, than it is women. They invite us to their church to do a worship service. And me and two other people from my church and Lewis and our pastor, we all went there and we did a worship service. I was never so honored to stand in front of those people. Because you could feel God's love in that room. And you know what? It didn't look nothing like we think it should look. You know, some of them look tattered and this, that, the other. But it didn't matter. They loved God. God's love was abundantly spilling over and out of these people. And so we went to that church and I was just speaking to the Lord about it. I said, God, I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm drawing another line. He said, there is no more such thing as lukewarm. So if you've been walking that lukewarm line, I got news from you. You're not walking a lukewarm line. Either you're in God or you're out of God. You either want for God or you're against God. God is not going to have any more. You can have one foot here and one foot here and have the best of both worlds. Ain't working. That's another man-made idea God's throwing out the window. God never intended that. Because if he did, he wouldn't say it. If you're lukewarm, I would spew you out of my mouth. That lets us know he never intended for that to be an option. But the church made it an option. And God is straightening out the church. The church made it an option. It's just like when the Bible says, if you offend someone, you are to go to that person. I don't know about you, but in my church, we're trying to get a grip on that. Because in the past, if I offended Mary Beth, I would go to Dee and say, Dee, you know what? Oh, I know I did this to Mary Beth, but blah, 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 blah. And I'm talking to Dee. And then Dee will go to Mary Beth and say, you know, Evelyn came to me and, you know, she really sorry about the way you offended her. And then Mary Beth would say, well, why didn't she come to me? I'm the one that got offended. Oh, it's okay, but at least she came. We make excuses. For what God did not make excuses for. Right. And God says, no more.
Amen.
You're not doing that no more. He said, I did say offenses must come. And you need to pay for your own offenses. Because if you want to see my love spill over, that's the only way it can spill over. It's when you moving in the order that I set before you. And it's a good order. It's a great order. Because sometimes you offend and you don't even know you did. And if the person never comes to you, they're walking around with their lips stuck out, not speaking to you, not making eye contact with you. You have no idea what you did. And then you hear it fifth person. Well, this is what I heard you did. And then you're trying to make out, well, when did I do that? I don't even remember doing that. And then you go to the next person and they was like, well, I didn't say you said that. And by the time you get back to the person, it sounds nothing like what the offense was. When it could have been eliminated if they had just come and said, you know, you offended me by what you said. Oh my God, I didn't even know I offended you. A lot of times you don't even know you have. Give me the choice to want to make it right. And that's what God is saying. That's what God's love is all about. It gives us the choice to want to make it right. Otherwise, we walk around with all these offenses and all this unforgiveness and all these hurts that should not be, because we would not go and make it right. God says, no more. Not doing that anymore. It's not going to be that one way or the other way. He goes, either you're going to want me or you're going to not want me. But you need to knock where he can be, go and knock on the door where he can be found. He said, ask and it shall be come forth. And we have the permission to shift. I think that's just so awesome that we are learning about the facets of God's sound this conference. Every last facet of God's sound has been broken down to even a child could understand it. When you leave this conference and you don't know what the sound of God sounds like, it's because you don't want to know. Because each one of these classes is so synonymously glued together that if you hear one class, you're just about hearing the whole stream. Because everybody's going to be touching on little bits and pieces of the other. When you said, let's close our eyes and go to sleep, not go to sleep, and meditate up in your talk, I thought, just ate lunch. Oh my God. I hope I don't snore and nod and get embarrassed while she's up there reading her heart out, and I'm sitting up here so comfortable. I got permission to close my eyes in a conference that I've been up since 7 o'clock this morning. Okay. So I sat there and I closed my eyes. And I tell you what, I was amazed at the way God started ministering to my heart. He ministered. You read those scriptures and they washed over you. Why wouldn't they? Because it has been a proven fact. If you fall asleep with the television on and it's talking, your subconscious picks up everything that's on that television. And you wonder why you're having some weird, really weird thought where you know you ain't never been. And all of a sudden that thought comes into your head and you're like, I don't even remember. Why am I having that thought? I'm a godly woman. Why should I be having that thought? Because you went to sleep with the television on and some weird movie came on and your self-conscious was picking it all up. And Satan probably was over in some corner going, yeah, speak it to him, you know. But I'm telling you, so when you told us to close our eyes, even if they fell asleep, the word washed over them. So God was telling me, and it was one of the most unconventional way I have ever seen anybody do a workshop, but it was fantastic because I saw God written all over it. Because who would do that after we just ate lunch? I mean, come on, think about it. We just ate lunch and then she's like, close your eyes. Yeah, you know, but it was amazing that happened. And God, because God says, what? Your hands is not going to be on this, but my hands will. My hands will be on this. And it is the first time in our lives that I can truly say that I will go boldly because I welcome the change. I don't know about you. I'm so tired of playing church. I'm so tired of going through the forms. I'm tired of all the this, that, and the others. And in my heart, I have been in the church as long as I can remember. And I tell you what, I am so ready for the new, I can't even tell you. That when God does something new, even when I don't understand it, as long as it has a witness in my heart, I'm all on board. I mean, it's so hard for us to change. All I did was took our worship singers off the stage. And I thought they were going to fall all over themselves. Because they weren't standing on the stage singing. I mean, that's what? Two steps down. One, two. You want us to stand on the floor? Equal? Right here? Yeah, just stand on the floor and sing. And if we're leading worship, at least when I'm leading, you guys have the freedom. If a song hits you and you don't think God's done with it yet, sing out. And that's why I told my worship team. And so they were sitting down there, and the first time we did it, I just prayed all night for them. I seriously did, because I knew that when God first spoke it to me, I'm like, oh, they're not going to want to do that. Because it's out of the norm. And we never do that before. So here we go. It seemed like a small thing, don't it? But that's what God is pouring out to us today. And they got down there singing, and I'm telling you what, I couldn't shut them up. I was like looking at them, trying to give them the eye. Okay, no, no. And oh my God, they was like, the guys was like, oh, no. You know, they were just gone. You remember that, Carol? They were just singing that song. And finally, I heard the Lord says, stop trying to stop me. Oh, sorry. Okay. So, you know, I just start singing with them. And then it calmed down when it calmed down. But it didn't calm down. It got better. Amen. It got better. And they are now, this is what we're doing. And God's getting ready to shift us again. He's getting ready to shift us again. He told us we needed to have a meeting on Thursday and on Tuesday. And the guy that's over the worship team felt like the musicians needed a time. And the singers needed a time. So if the musicians learned how to play it, then when the singers came on board, it would be easier for the singers to sing it. That sounds reasonable, right? Yeah, we all complained. We didn't want to do that. And I got home and the Lord said, why? He didn't give you another day. He just told you, you know, it's not like he said you got to come Tuesday and Thursday. You're still only going one day a week. Logically thinking, you know, in my mind, I was thinking, oh my God, we have Tuesday, Monday we have prayer, Tuesday our worship, Wednesday we have downstairs service. Now he's taking away my Thursday. Thursday was my day. Thursday was my day. He goes, no, Thursday was my day. You never had a day. You lost that day when you came to me. You don't have a day. You said that you were mine. I said, what day? You don't have a day. That's right, I did say that. So I went to my music director, because he was going to change everything back around, because he was getting so much guff. You know, got all these adults that don't want to comply. And he's so easygoing, and he's so talented, but he's very easygoing. He's like, okay, we can just do it your way. And I went to him, and I said, I need to ask your forgiveness. He goes, you asking my forgiveness? I'm like, yeah, because, you know, when you said that, I was really mad you was taking my Thursday. Until God pointed it out to me, I wasn't losing a day. You was just switching the days around. And I said, I want to change. So if you want to do that, I'm on board. I'm on board. And then people started coming and saying, I'm on board. I'm on board. Why? Because God is doing a shift. And if you really want to be in the shift, you can't help but feeling the tug that God's doing in your hearts. And the tug he's doing, he says, love. Mm-hmm. Love, do things in love. And I'm telling you, people can't resist love. They can't. When you go and love and talk to somebody, it's just like you put a candle underneath them and they're melting wax. They just melt into your hand, because it takes two to make an argument. If one person ain't trying to with you, there's no argument. Okay? So you have to stop. The sound of God's assurance in his present love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It is the end of an era, like I said, and beginning of a new era. And this is a clear work that God is doing with our love. All the favor that he had in his son, he gave them to us so that we could experience God's love. Now, we think, a lot of us, that God gave his son, yes. God forgave his son, yes, so we can change from sin and walk in reality. But Jesus had a love that outdoes anybody that you ever want to meet. His love far surpasses anything that you can think of. You know, who goes to a whore that they know that somebody that has a very tainted life and befriend them and love them? So much so, love them unto righteousness. So much so, it changed their whole perspective. Because your perspective is your reality. And God's after our perspective. And so a lot of times when you're dealing with somebody and you can't seem to change their way of thinking, stop trying to change them and get on your knees and say, God, change their perspective to your perspective in this area. Because their perspective is their reality. It's not that they're trying to be mean to you. They can only see past what their perspective is. That's how we are. But once we start praying God's love on people, they have to change. They have no choice but to change into what God wants them to be. In Romans 8:37, it says, "Know all these things are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us." He made us conquerors because of the way he loves us. We are learning how to walk circumspectly before the Father. We are learning how to walk in love before the Father. And you know, someone was saying something about Ketchikan, and I tell all my sisters and brothers and people in Delta about Ketchikan, and when they try to describe the Ketchikan they know, because some of them has lived here before, it's nothing like the Ketchikan that I know. But I guess because when I come to Ketchikan, I meet the good people. They met the fruits. I mean, that's the only thing I could think of. I don't know why it's so different. But they came in a different time frame or something. But everybody that I have met in Ketchikan, I fell in love with. I fell in love with the first time I got down here. When I met TC, it's crazy as he was on that drum. I never seen a drummer close their eyes all the time. This guy never opened his eyes when he played. I'd be trying to get his attention. He'd be all caught up in the spirit. And we had to start telling him, TC, open your eyes, open your eyes, open your eyes, so you can see us while we doing this. That was the worship team I had when I first came down here. I don't know if y'all remember that. It was TC and John and TC's wife. And who else was it? Rebecca. Yeah, Rebecca. And then it was Yes. And Sonia was on my team. Was in that little bitty church. I think it was Dan's them church, right? No. That one way out there.
Yeah, it was
Yeah. And we were out there at that church, and I didn't know them. They didn't know me. And we all got in there together, and I found like I had. And they started telling me about some of their history. And some of their lives were misfit lives. It was like, you know, people that nobody had thought to put together. And the first time I met John, I made him sing, "You Won't Relent." And he looked at me like I was crazy at practice. "Do you even know if I can sing?" he said. And I was like, "No. But you're a guy, and I need a guy to do this. It just sounds good when a guy's voice." And he said, "If you want me to try, I'll try." And he starts singing that song. And I'm telling you, something broke loose in that man that has never, he has never stepped back. It was a breaking point for him. And he's never stepped back from that time. And I tell you what, that's what God's love is all about. And I had a book. I wish I had brought it so you could hear some of the stuff they wrote. And I was thinking one of these days I'm going to send it down and I'm going to make a copy of it and send it back to them. Because I bet you they don't even remember some of the stuff they wrote in that book. I had them sign their names so that I could, get in touch with them the next time I came down here so I could have a worship team. And instead, they all wrote to me in the book. So they all took a page and wrote to me and told me about their life histories and asked and told me, thank you for trusting me. I just cried. I read it to Lewis and I just wept. Thank you for trusting me. I was just doing what I do. I was just doing what the Father told me to do. I was so happy that they wanted to play. I didn't even think about that. And I tell you what, that's what God's love will bring to you. God's abundant love will bring to you. Why? Let's see, all the favor of that clear sound that we're hearing that works for God's love. When I shared this word before, because I shared a little bit when I was telling what the word was going to be about, my brother had passed away. Very close family. We're very close family. And it was very unexpected. He was not sick. And my sister-in-law called me and my brother called me and they said, Sherman just had a massive heart attack and he's gone. And he lives in Las Vegas. And I was supposed to leave that weekend and come down to Georgia. Was it Georgia? Georgia. And I was like, I was torn. I didn't know what to do because my heart was so broken. And I didn't think I could stand in front of a people and share a word. And so I looked at Lewis, and I don't even think at first you were even going with me on that trip. And one of our pastors called. I called them. They knew I was leaving, and they said, we heard your brother passed away. I said, yes. He says, well, this is what my church did for me. It makes me want to cry. Talking about God's love being poured out. So they called me on the phone, and they said, Evelyn, let us send you to your brother's funeral because my sister-in-law was going to have him cremated. And we all wanted to get down there and say our goodbyes before she did this. She was trying to hold up, but you can't, you know, what can you do? And so she said, if you can make it down here by this Friday, this can happen. And so my church started to rally their money together. See, in Alaska, when you're going to take a trip like that, it's easy, $2,500, buy the ticket. They don't do the grieve thing anymore up here. And so the price is astronomical, you know. And I was like, oh, okay. And I said, but, you know, I was checking on tickets, and it was like, stop, Evelyn. You do so much for the church. Let us do this for you. Let us show you what you show us. And they just came out of pocket. And they called me back and they said, we have a ticket for you and Lewis. Not just you, but you and Lewis. And they said to me, I was weeping on the phone. And I said, I don't even know how to thank y'all. They said, you do it every day of your life, Evelyn. The love you show every day of your life thanks us. That we would want to do this for you. And we're going to tell you something. That Point to Hope team that you're on, if they think you're supposed to go down there, let this be your way to judge it. When you get down there, if Nancy Haney and them call you and say, Evelyn, how much is your ticket from Las Vegas to Georgia? Because we're bringing you if you want to come. If they say that to you, then you let the dead bury the dead. And you kiss your brother goodbye. And you go minister down there. Because God's going to give you what you need to do that. And I got to Las Vegas. We hadn't been there one day. And Nancy called me. She said, this is no pressure. If there's any conference that you could have missed, it would be this one. Because there's other people there that can really do the worship where I wouldn't have had to be there. But we would love to have you. But you pray and see what you want to do. But if you want to go, we got you. We will buy you a ticket we will get you home. Well, I had already had my ticket to go there, but I had canceled it because I didn't know how it would all work out, and Alaska doesn't fly into Las Vegas. So I told Lewis, and he says, well, you know, Evelyn, he said, I think you're supposed to go. He said, babe, I think you're supposed to go. I said, but I already canceled my ticket to come home. That means they're going to have to buy a round-trip ticket, and I'm trying to figure out how it's going to work. I get on the phone. I call the airport. I get this young man on the phone. I says, okay, this is what happened. I'm supposed to go to Georgia. I had a ticket. I canceled it because I had a death in my family. I'm talking to a stranger on the phone. And I said to him, I said, and I am not thinking right because of what happened. And I canceled my whole ticket. So he said, can I call you Evelyn? And I said, yeah. He says, Evelyn, what do you need? I said, I need to be able to get back home from Georgia, but I canceled my ticket. And I know that you're going to make me pay for the old ticket, you know, because then I got to pay another $600, whatever. He says, wait just a minute. He gets off the phone. He gets back on the phone, and he says, do you mind catching a 7 o'clock plane to come home once you get out of Georgia and do what you need to do there? I said, no. He says, how about this? How about you? He got money from your ticket because you didn't use it here. How about we just take 100 of that 400 that you have here? And how about we just buy you a ticket to come home? And you can come home at 7 o'clock the next morning. I didn't even know what to say. I just sat on the phone and I said, can you do that? And he said, I can do anything. I'm on the computer. I was like, okay. He goes, I get what you're saying. He says, let me do this. And so he fixed my ticket. So I had my whole ticket, all my tickets all the way around. And when I got down to Georgia, I felt I had to leave. Lewis went back home because he had to go to work. So I'm on the plane by myself going to Georgia after this happened. And I get down there, and what do I run into? I ran into the arms of my family. I ran into the arms of my Point to Hope family. And you tell me that's not God's love in this present day. And they just put their arms around me and they loved me right through it. And when I had to get up front, like you tell about your workshop, I got up front and I couldn't talk. Do you remember that? I couldn't talk. I tried. The words wouldn't come out. So Nancy got up in front of the whole church and explained what was going on with me to give me a time to get myself together. I got myself together and I did this workshop on the love of God. And I tell you what, that word went so into my spirit like I have never had before. That there is no way that nobody can tell me about my Father not loving me right now in this present day. Because he moved heaven and earth for me. And not only that, he let me have a whole memorial service, which they weren't going to have because I was leaving. And so my sister-in-law gave me permission to do anything I wanted to do. And I had other siblings that was leaving. We all got in there, and it sounded like a massive choir. People was coming in from the halls to hear us sing. And we got to sing and say goodbye before I had to leave to come down to Georgia. And I tell you what, God's insurance love, his love. What does assurance mean? What does it mean? It is a statement that indicates, that inspires confidence and a guarantee. That's what it means to you. It's freedom from doubt. Okay? Took away all of that. It's self-confidence in who the Father is. It's self-confidence. I was like, oh my God, there is nothing that no one can do to ever tell me you don't love me. Because you showed me through even your physical people how much you love me. And I mean, they came around me. I felt no lack. I felt no spaces, no place to go into a dark hole and say, oh, you know. I didn't feel any of that. All I felt is this overwhelming love being poured out upon me. Because God did it. Isn't it timely I'm doing this workshop? You know, we think he doesn't know what he's doing. He knew all this was going to happen before it ever happened. And he knew exactly what he was wanting to work within me. Well, it's good he worked that in me, because right before I came here, and I shared this with Nancy, I had a very interesting experience, and hopefully it don't scare you. I doubt if it will, but I'm going to share it with you anyway. A very interesting experience. And the reason why I'm going to share a little bit of part of this with you is because God says, wherever you go, you need to tell my people this. Because this is a part of God's love, too. God loves us so much, he's not going to let us be caught off guard. So I was laying in my bed, and all of a sudden, I found myself coming awake. Because, you know, it seemed like God talked to you in the wee hours of the morning. And I remember waking up, touching the side of my bed, because I wasn't sure if I was awake or in that twilight area, you know, sleep. And I had a visitor. And for like 3 weeks prior to this, I had been seeing this dark shadow. When you said dark shadow, that's why I'm telling you this. I had been seeing this dark shadow, and it had been lurking just further enough away from me. I couldn't tell what it was, but I knew it was a dark shadow, okay? And I had been seeing it over and over and over and over again, so I cannot believe what Mary Beth was mentioning is upstairs. And so it didn't make me afraid, but I was aware of its being there. And so all of a sudden, it came out of the shadow, and it sat down in front of me. And I said, who are you? He said, Lucifer. And I said, what? I said, did I hear that right? God, am I awake? That's when I started touching my dresser. I'm like, I've got to be dreaming. You know, and I start touching my dresser. He says, Lucifer, I said, why are you here? Why are you here? He says, you know that pain you have in your body, Evelyn? He said, I can take it away like that. He said, anything you want, I'll give it to you. Anything you want is yours. He said, if I can take that pain away, I said, and so can my father. He said, yes, he can. But he hasn't. But I will. And I said, and he hasn't, but he will when he gets ready.
Amen.
And so I looked to the side of me, and there was these huge angels. Huge. God knows I am not making this up. And they were standing on either side of me. And then there was this light shining down. And I couldn't really see the face. You know, I just was aware something ascended down, but I couldn't really see the face of it. And so I was sitting there, and I said, what do you want? He goes, yes, that was me. I've been lurking in the shadows around my people, about the people of God, looking to and fro in the land to see who I can deceive, who I can make pay attention to me. He goes, oh, yes, I'm lurking, and I'm looking. And I said, really? And he was like, yes. And I said, what do you want? He said, your children. I said, my children? You done messed up. You gonna tell a woman you want her children? Oh, you done messed up now, buddy. Nobody messed with my children. There's two things in my life you don't mess with other than God. That's my children and my husband. You don't mess with them two things. Or you got to fight.
Right.
And furthermore, I don't want to talk to you no more. So get out of my head. It was almost like my spirit was having this conversation. My flesh was silent. But here's this conversation going on. And I remember saying, Holy Spirit, what is this? Why would you allow this? He said, for this reason, my people don't know my voice. Because if you know God's voice, this can't not deceive you. But if you don't know God's voice and you don't read God's word, let me tell you, he was nothing that I imagined. He was smooth. He was convincing. He was soft-spoken. He was elegant. He was all the things, but he had the wrong voice. But if I did not know the voice of my father, he would have deceived me. I would have thought it was an angel of light coming to save me. And I'd have took all his promises. But because I knew the voice of my father, because I knew the love of my father, he could not trip me up. My words to you is, this is how he's coming, folks. Tell you 99% of the truth in your life to get 1 ounce of a lie. And that 1 ounce of a lie lets him get his foot in the door. Who is Satan? He's an angel, guys. The Bible says he's a fallen angel. The Bible also says he's the most beautiful creature there is. We point him up with some red horns and tails. That's how we figure him to be. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he makes Jesus look like a goon. Because he's so beautiful and elegant. And knows all these things that we do by heart. He's a worshiper and everything else. He's an angel of light. And that's how he's coming. Be aware so you don't get tripped up and made to think you got all the time in the world to walk into God's love and receive God's love in this time. I just want to throw that into you to let you know, because he's coming. So that dark shadow you're seeing, because you're prophetic, that's why it keeps coming. That's why it keeps coming. Because it's trying to get you in a place where you're listening to them and we're too smart. It's like you were screaming, we're too smart. We're not going to let him come and interfere with our life and our plans and our what God has for us. But there's a lot of young ones out there that we need to be praying for and educating and telling them and showing them the love of God. Because if we don't, we're going to lose them. Because they won't know any better. Amen. They won't know any better. I said, okay. And I said, get out of my house. Get out of my mind. And his eyes got big. And I was like, okay, God, what is that? And he said, he just became knowledgeable that you know who you are. That I know who I am. And that I have more power than he does. Amen. Over me. He doesn't have any power over me. Because I am a child of the King. And he lives in me. And his love powers over me like nothing else can. And that's what he wants us to know. His love is so great that there is nothing that can pluck us out of his hand. Unless we give it permission, it can't do it. And we're not going to do that. Yes, there is a shifting going on. And we're starting to experience the love of God like never before. And that love of God that we're experiencing is saying, loving us through enough that we're actually moving out of the way and letting God make us into better people. Into better people, even at the cost of it hurting. You know what? I'd rather tell you the truth and you're mad at me for 3 weeks than not tell you the truth and you go to hell. Those are your choices. You can be honest with somebody and tell them the truth and love them to heaven. Amen. And they can be mad at you for 3 weeks, and then you can go back and kiss and hug and make up. Or you can make them happy and try to convince their little flesh that they're okay and lose them forever. Hard choices, but God choices. This whole weekend that we've been going through, that's what it's been trying to get us. The sound of God. Do you know God's sound? Do you know His sound in your life? Do you know the difference between His love and something else? Do you know the difference between His peace and something else? His faith and something else? All the different things that we've been talking about this weekend is trying to get our attention and says, hello, God is talking. And you've got to know His voice. If you're not raising up your Bible, it's on His iPad. If you're not raising up your Bibles, if you're not reading the Word, if you don't know the voice of God, if I wasn't know the voice of God, if I didn't know the love of God, my son Benjamin would not even be here. Because when Benjamin was little, Satan tried to take him. He was only 3 pounds, 2.5 ounces at birth, that tall guy. Went down to 1 pound and 13 ounces. Had open heart surgery. And here he stands. A mighty man of God. But he was laying in the bed and I heard him call me and I went in there. I went to go get my house coat and something said, Ben's okay, go back to bed. And it was the wrong voice. I went flying down that hall to my son's room and his body was laying on the bed doing this. He was blue. His tongue was hanging out of his mouth. He was not breathing. And I took him to his dad, stiff as a board. I just laid him in Lewis's arms. I couldn't even talk. I just cried and laid him into Lewis's arm. And Lewis started to pray for him and prayed him. And we started praying and the saints started came in. And visions started coming in. And they saw graves and all this other stuff. And Lewis goes, no, no, no. We're not accepting that. And he's standing here today because God's love. God loved him so much. He's standing here today. God loved us so much. He honored us. And Lewis asked him. He said, Father, I know you love him more than we love him. I know you knew him before we knew him. But if you would give us permission, we would like to raise him on this side of the veil. And God said, so be it. But this is a God that we serve. A mighty, mighty God of love. Two calves died. He took two calves instead because he couldn't get bed. When you were, I'm telling you, I was writing as fast as I could when you was ministering because stuff was just like you're saying, just downloading to you. He said, I welcome the change. Okay. Then he said, I can hardly wait to God to pour into me, into you, the new finding blessings that are waiting right at your door. See, this love is a blessing. This love is a gift. And remember, God is a gentleman. He's not going to force himself on anybody. But oh my God, when you come to him with an open heart and open arms, God pours in his love to you like never before. I can't hardly wait. Can you wait on the blessings that God is pouring out for you? He has a whole building with your name on it that says blessings, blessings for his whole blessings. And all you got to do is just open your arms and open yourself up to God's blessing because they're pouring out right now. All his blessings is pouring out. For 7 years, I never got a dividend, guys. I had so many hospital bills that I thought it was a blessing. My dividend was going on the hospital bill. Who cares? As long as they were getting paid. They called me right before I got ready to come up here. And they said, your name went in the kitty. We do a kitty. Cornerstone. You know, they never give nobody no money. And they said, your name going in the kitty. And it came up before the board. And do you get a dividend? I said, are you kidding? You've been taking my dividend for 7 years. And they said, we can no longer do that. Because the president says, don't ever take her dividend again. So you can have your dividend this year. The biggest dividend we've had in about 7 years. $1,800 and something. He said, you know, you can have it this year. That's how much God loves me. I know God loves me. I have 3 kids to prove it when I wasn't supposed to have none. That's how much I know God loves me and cares for me. So I can't wait for the blessings to start pouring out. Unto you, he's going to present a seat at his table. He says, come and eat of my riches. Are you here just for, it's a good time? I think not. You would not be staying late as you did last night if it was just for, oh, I think it's a good thing to do. I just think I'll hang around. There is something in you that is drawing you to the newfound God that's pouring out his love. You're looking for something different, something new, something exciting, something you can put your teeth into, something that you can explode with, something that carries you from moment to moment to moment to moment, and not just a little tidbit here and a little tidbit here. All of a sudden you're saying, God, I want to taste and see that you are good. I want a taste of your love. I want a taste of your peace. I want to know for me you're real. Not because my pastor says it, not because my mom and dad said, or this person said, because I want a relationship with you. And this weekend, God said, you can have that. All you got to do is say, I'm ready, God. Come on in. I'm ready, God. I want something real. I'm knocking. He's been knocking a long time. It's about time we knock back. Abraham was so assured of God's love that he took his only begotten son up on a mountain and was going to kill him. That's how much he knew God loved him. He was so assured that God would give him what he needed. And so did Daniel in the lion's den. So assured, he went in there with hungry lions and was going to let them eat him up. But he knew God was going to save him. There's many scriptures on God's love. 1 Corinthians 13:13 talks about the love of God. 1 Corinthians 13:7-8 gives a definition of what God's love is. John, 1 John 4:18-19 talks about love. We are swimming in a pool that, I'm telling you, will pour out all the love that you can give it. All you got to do is say, God, I want it. God, I want it. I want it, God. When they're putting their hands on you, and when she comes down here and she put her hands on you, and she's activating, do you know what you're activating inside of you? You're saying, God, I am opening myself up for you to put into me the word that I have just gotten. Father God, plant the seed, because God says, one plants, we're planting seed in you. Amen. He says, one waters. Nancy's, okay, I'm finna activate it, but who brings the increase? God does. So when you stand there and you say, I want it all, your knees get weak, I don't care. Get weak knees. I'm taking it all. I want the full enchilada. I'm not going to hold myself up, so you better catch me. Because I want the whole enchilada. That's what you're saying this weekend. And God is saying, one plants, all these women and men have planted. One waters, let's activate you. Now, God's going to bring the increase. You want abundant love? God's getting ready to give it to you. Amen. And he's not going to hold back his love from you. Because it's a free gift. But he's not going to force it on you. Because it's a free gift. And I tell you what,
He does not go back on his word. I'm a living proof. He doesn't go back on his word. Everything that God said, have said to me that he was going to give me, he has done. And I am living, walking around proof of that. So we want more of God. We're going to sing one more song. And if she's ready for us, I'm ready for her. She's fine. Okay, good. Okay, so I'm going to sing one more song to you. I'm telling you, I'm having so many dreams, I don't even know what to do with them. I don't know about you, but I've been having dreams after dream, after dreams, after dreams, after dreams. And they're not just about other people, they're about me. It's like I go through something, I have a dream. I go through something else, I have a dream. And I know better than try to interpret my dreams, so thank God I know people that can do that for me, you know. I interpret dreams, but I don't like to interpret my own dreams, because I want to make sure I get every little tidbit. You know, I don't want to leave out one little matter because I thought I had all wisdom and all truth. Because nobody does, but the Father. Okay? So, this song that I want to sing to you is called Your Love, O God. It's a very old song, but it's a very cool song. I think it's a cool song. Powerful song. Thank you, baby. And it says, Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness stretches to the sky. Your righteousness is like a mighty mountain. Your justice flows like the ocean tide. And I will lift my voice to worship you, my King. And I will find my strength in the shadow of your wings. 'Cause your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness stretches to the sky. Your righteousness is like a mighty mountain, and your justice flows like the ocean tide. And I will lift my voice to worship you, my King. And I will find my strength in the shadow of your wings. 'Cause your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness stretches to the sky, and your righteousness is like a mighty mountain, and your justice flows like the ocean tide. That's what God's love is about. Amen. Oh my God, he is so great. So when we walk out of this room, something bigger than what we are is standing up inside of us. And it's called your spirit. And you know what? Nobody can take that from you. And it's standing up inside of us and it's saying, I want more. I want more, God. Bring on the more. Bring on the more. You're going to be standing on that stage one of these days. I'm coming down here, and I'm going to have to push people off the stage from being on the worship team. As long as God clothes me, I'm going to take all that he can give me. I'm just going to take every ounce that what he can give me. Because what I'm finding out is that there is nothing that this world could offer me that my God can't get me better. there is nothing. So, amen. Yes.